Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. Check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hey listeners, I want to tell you about Music Masters Collective, a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. These events give you the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like the Fab Four, Steve Earle, Richard Thompson, John Scofield, Nels Klein, the Milk Carton Kids, and many more. This June, join the Wait Band, featuring members of the band and the Levon Helm Band with special guests, including Jimmy Vivino, Bob Margolin, Lost Leaders, Chris O'Leary, Cindy Cashdollar, Stony Creek Band, Rob Fraboni, Larry Packer, and so many more at Camp Cripple Creek. This all-inclusive music vacation in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York promises to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience featuring performances, workshops, jams, comfortable lodging, and superb dining. Visit campcripplecreek.com/undermine to register today. That's campcripplecreek.com/undermine.
Osiris.
This is Undermine Presents We've Got a Band, the podcast where fish fans talk to fish fans who have their own fans. I'm your host, James Dell.
And I'm Gabrielle Bluestone. And this week, we're bringing you some breaking news. Our guests this week are MSNBC's Katie Turr and Punchbowl co-founder Jake Sherman. And together, they have created some of the most overt fish references you will ever see on broadcast television.
We'll be talking with them about balancing family life and fandom, the secret cabal of journalists and media professionals who email each other every time a new tour announcement drops called JournoFish, and even the reaction to the first time that Katie started spouting lyrics during her year-end sign-off of MSNBC. This is episode 4 of Undermine Presents We've Got a Band.
Sponsored by Section 119. Hey guys, and welcome to We've Got a Band, the show about fish fans who have fans. So let's talk about fish. How did you guys both get into the band?
Well, I will go first. How did I get into the band? That's a really good question. As you know, I was just a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed college student who liked the Dave Matthews Band. No, I'm kidding. My first fish show was in 04, and I feel lucky because when you and I met in college, when you were an idealistic young college newspaper reporter, fish was not together. Fish was broken up for the entirety of my college experience, which was actually quite useful because if fish was not broken up during that time period, I would have been traveling the country and failing even more than I did otherwise in college. So I thank Fish for breaking up from 2004 to 2009 so I could complete my college education without much of a hiccup. That's how I got into them. But I grew up a Deadhead. Like, I grew up with a father who was a Deadhead and actually loved fish. So I was, born into this lifestyle.
Let's see, me.
I had a crush on a boy in high school who really liked fish. And I at first was like, all right, I guess I'll listen to this band with you in your car just so I can hang out with you. And then, I don't know, we had a little bit of marijuana. Got me into the band a little more. By the time I went to college in 2001, I was made fun of by the emo kids for being the dirty hippie, as they called me. And I went to my, but I didn't go to my first show until 2003. Weirdly, I don't know why. Maybe I was just, who the fuck knows? I went in 2003. It was a Valentine's Day show with my college boyfriend. And I got to tell you, I don't remember anything of it other than I loved it. And I was hooked ever since. But then they broke up, like right after that. And I moved to New York. I got into news and like kind of it dropped off my radar because news people are like dorky in a different way. And nobody listened to
But
Fish.
we've brought the good dork to news.
I know, and then I met Jake and we bonded and here we are.
Hold on, but that show, Katie, as I just look it up, was actually a very significant Fish show. It was at the Great Western Forum, yes. And that was the day or the week that Fish was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
I bought that magazine. I was thrilled by it. Google, like everything I could find out about Fish, but this is 2003 when the Google machine wasn't that powerful, and I'd try to find right. like copies of stuff online, and I felt like I was coming up short. I didn't have a Jake Sherman in my life who was good at the, you know, getting in the weeds and doing the research.
But they played the cover of Rolling Stone for the first time in the first set. That is a significant show. So that's a significant work of art.
The reason I love the Fish app, the Live Fish app, is that I was able to go back and find my first show and play it for myself now as an old lady with kids. And it was awesome. It was awesome.
Not that you remember much of anything.
Not that I remember anything of it, but I remember glow sticks and people doing this.
That was the thing that stuck out to me about my first show also, which was at Merriweather, their first reunion show back. I was like, they all know when to throw the glow sticks during Tweezer. Like, what is this scene?
That's what my husband likes the most is he's like, how do they know to do it?
Do you guys track your shows? Do you have like all your, every, the fish.net?
I did for a long time and then I forgot my password and I didn't reset it. I just was like, I don't need to know how many shows I've been to, but I've been to way too many. You've probably been to not as many as me because I'm older than you, but you've probably been to, you've been going more consistently than I have over the last decade, I would say.
Well, I'm a 3.0 or 2.0. I have a lot of time to make up for.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie, you don't track your shows, do you?
No, I'm so disorganized in my entire life.
Yeah, but like I kind of, you know, I used to buy posters for every show and then they just ended up like in a box or in a tube in my, no pun intended, in my basement. And I was just like, although I just got a couple really good posters framed. The Trey solo show at a synagogue in DC. I just got that framed. I got a San Francisco one framed. I have the poster of the show that we were at together in San Francisco. Outside Lands in 2012, maybe 2011, which was a fun but weird kind of vibe. But that was a fun show.
I think that might have been my second Fish show ever.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about one of our great partners, DistroKid. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads and artists keeping 100% of their royalties and earnings. If you're a musician and looking to get your music out there, DistroKid is the way to go. DistroKid is available for iOS and Android and is now available in Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store. More than a million artists rely on DistroKid to get their music onto Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all other major streaming services. And with DistroKid, you can upload new releases, see your financial progress, get notified when you've earned royalties, withdraw money from the app, view and share links, check your streaming stats, and a whole lot more. DistroKid has more features than any other music distributor. Check them out today. Go to distrokid.com, that's distrokid with a capital K.com/VIP/undermine for a special offer only for our listeners. That's distrokid, capital K, .com/VIP/undermine. Thanks, DistroKid.
Did either of you guys ever, I imagine like because of when you were going to college, and I think Gabby and I fall into this too, like it was easy to miss Phish because there was no Phish in those years, really. They kind of stopped touring in the time when you should have been following them around. Have you ever been able to go to like a bunch of shows in a row and like do the tour thing at all?
Yes.
Jake's saying yes. Katie's saying no.
Yes. Yeah, in a big way. In like 20, when was the really good first Bethel show? 2011, I think. I saw like, I'm going to make up something of the order of like, I never did like a tour, but like I would go out and do like, you know, two or three stops. Like I did the Deer Creek Alpine Valley run, you know, like those four shows. I did Bethel. I did like Raleigh, Portsmouth. I did a bunch of those kinds of things. But, you know, back to the college thing, like in that was the days of like LimeWire and like whatever those weird sharing things was.
Yeah.
And there was this dude who I knew actually before college, by the name of Mike Gross, who I actually like the guy. I've lost touch with him. He was a nice guy, Mike Gross. And he had like all of the 04 shows, which were so depressing to listen to, but I still, they had their bright moments. But I don't go back and listen to that year too much, but, and I downloaded all of them in Thurston Hall, which is the freshman dorm at the George Washington University where I live. Gabby, did you live in Thurston?
I was a Thurston resident. Yeah, I lived in a 6-person room, which was the worst room you could get in Thurston.
And,
one person had to sleep in a closet.
That's okay. We all lived. and I downloaded a bunch of those shows back in the heady days of LimeWire or whatever it was.
That was also when colleges would go after kids for downloading. Like you would get.
Oh yeah. You'd get like a letter from the dean or something being like, we noticed you've used a lot of data to download a lot of bullshit here. Yeah. I got a couple of those.
So the backstory to this also is that Jake and I went to college together. He was my college editor. So you kind of got me into journalism and Phish. He would play Phish nonstop at the newspaper and it kind of, after a while, you just stop fighting it and you let it in.
I was trying to teach the children well.
Speaking of teaching the children well, Katie, you mentioned you have two kids now. I think you just had one fairly recently, so probably not Phish aged yet.
Year and a half ago. She's going to college next year. my son likes. He likes Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson. He likes run like an antelope out of control. My older kids, I got two stepkids, like, your hands and feet are mangoes. Mm-hmm. I get them into some of it. I'm sorry. Teddy loves contact. He loves contact.
Great song.
Loves contact. He says, play the tires on the road song. And he thinks it's the best. He loves it.
I took my son to his first concert this year, actually. I took him to Bob Weir and the Wolf Bros at Kennedy Center, which happens to be like 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes from my house. And he was like, I guess it's kind of a weird show to take a kid to for his first show. But like, I will take him to Phish this summer if they're at Merriweather again. But like, it needs to be a situation in which someone who is with me could leave if he doesn't like, he's not gonna want to be there for the whole show.
You're not willing to take your own child out of the show.
I am not willing
to send him away.
I would not bring him. I would not leave in the middle of the show. So we need to find an escape hatch situation. Although he does have a poster, a Phish poster in his room from Raleigh 2011 at Walnut, the venue that formerly was known as Walnut Creek, I believe.
He wasn't even alive.
No, but I just kind of, like, when he was born, it just kind of, like, fit his the vibe of his room, and I just stayed there. I don't know. His name is Ryder, and he is nominally named after the song I Know You, Ryder, not by Phish, by the Grateful Dead.
Did Irene agree with this?
She knows it was in the mix, I guess.
Did she know why it was in the mix?
But this morning, actually, he asked me on the way to school if I would play the song, because when I got in my car this morning, my middle daughter's name is Josie, and there's a Steely Dan song called Josie, which is like whatever. But he was like, "No, I want the song with my name," and I was like, "Okay."
Do you guys think of Phish, like, is that something that you want to share with your kids, or is it kind of your thing that you want to keep separate?
I'm happy to share it. I mean, I play it in the car. Whenever we go on drives somewhere long stretches, I'll play it. And, you know, so I'm forcing it on them. But, yeah, they're still so young. I mean, there's going to be so much time before they can participate in it. And by the time they probably can, they're going to think I'm the most annoying, dorky person in the world and probably won't like it. It won't be until they're much older will they appreciate it. Like, I hated, my mother loved country music. I mean, it drove me nuts. She loved country music, like Mary Chapin Carpenter. Who's the other guy that sings a song that everyone knows?
Oh, that's really
narrows it. John Prine?
Anyway, she loves country music. I'm blanking on the guy. And now my husband loves country music, and I got to say, I kind of love it also. So it took some time. So maybe when they're my age, they'll marry somebody who loves Phish, and they'll be listening to it in their kitchen and trying to indoctrinate my grandchildren.
Yeah, I think my kids are just going to grow up around it. Like, it's not really kind of a – they don't really have much of an option. I mean, I don't care if they like it or not, but, like, they're going to grow up around it because I listen to it all the time. But, I mean, I listen to
– Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks, yeah.
Oh, him.
Driving me nuts.
Only the biggest recording artist the last like 50 years.
I don't know about you, but like I ever since I had kids and I do this job, I have no memory for anything whatsoever. It's like I got a lobotomy and my entire swaths of time and information and knowledge are just blanked from my brain.
We'll blame that on the 2004 marijuana and etc.
2003. Okay.
Noted.
I'm older 20 years ago. You're all babies.
True.
Katie, I feel like I heard in an interview. We're talking about families. Was it true that your spouse had never been to any concert before, and so his first show is Phish?
Yes, he says he might have gone to like a Wu-Tang Clan or a Rusted Root concert. I think he went to a Rusted Root concert once. But like he will say that the first like proper concert that he ever went to was a Phish show with me in, I think it was 2017. And also me. And it was like, I had to convince him because he's like, this is not my thing. But at that point he was still very much in love with me.
But by the way, the best story was we were at MSG for sound check, and we were talking about like what was that?
We were talking about Game Henge,
and and he said something like, Tony, Katie's husband, said something like, "What's Game Henge?" Yeah, and Trey was like, "It's like a fugue I wrote," and I was like, "That's quite the understatement."
We're at this backstage room, and he was talking to this lady, and he's like, "So why are you here?" And she's like, "I'm Mike's brother," and he's like, "Who's Mike?"
Yeah,
that's good. Keep him humble.
he maintains.
He's come
to it because Trey probably talks to everybody who thinks they know everything about everything. And he gave him an opportunity to explain something anew. So,
but he's come to appreciate
the now.
Yeah, but he's come to appreciate. Yeah, he's come to appreciate it for what it is.
He has a really good time, and he will say that when we'll ask him about it. He says the music, outside of the concert, whatever. But the concert itself, he has a great time.
Yeah, I mean, because we usually go to New Year's Eve together, Katie and I, our spouses, and it's a party. So it's not like hard to have a it's not hard to have a good time at.
You're going to meet my brother for this New Year's Eve run, and
isn't he a doctor?
He's a doctor, but like dirty hippies. My brother is like a real dirty hippie.
Who did it first? Did you turn him into a dirty hippie, or did he turn you into a dirty hippie?
He's 2 years younger, and I believe we made the transition at the same time. But he still wears the tie-dye shirts with the turtles on him, and he's got the longer hair and like the painted fingernails. He's very much like, he is a respectable doctor of psychiatry and hospital medicine. He's a very smart, upstanding human, but also a dirty hippie.
He really commit to the bit.
He does. He does.
Yeah, one of Gabby and I's first, one of our first shows together. I don't know if it was our first one, but it was night 13 of the Baker's Dozen, and a group of us had kind of, it was killer. I mean,
which donut was that? I might have been there.
That was the On the Road Again show. Let me look.
That was On the Road Again. Yeah.
I went to Boston Cream. I think Lemon.
Lemon was a couple nights before. I remember that. It wasn't Lemon. And it wasn't Boston Cream.
I'll tell you, I'm pulling it up right now.
Boston Cream and Cream, because they played Boston and Cream. They matched.
It was together. Pink Glaze and Rainbow Sprinkles were given to fans.
That was not the one I meant. I love that I remember those concerts through the donuts. I'm sorry, I interrupted your story. Go on.
No, it's fine. All I was going to say is that what I had never done before for a Phish show, which I assume you guys have done before, is for night 13, Gabby and I and a whole bunch of, 20 friends, we got a suite.
And we've so never we were, done that.
You've never that. Done this? Oh, my God.
You did that. Yes, I remember that.
I know a guy who has access to a suite, and so every run, he invites me.
It's so a game changer.
I'm torn on this. I love the ease and convenience of a suite, but I don't love how removed from everything you are. Like, it's very hard.
You're not at the show. You're not at the show.
You have a private bathroom and a private bar. That to me is, oh my God, it's everything.
That's what bad songs are made for.
I mean, yes. If I was going with like closer friends, but I end up going and I'm like, I don't know anybody here. And I kind of just like, I feel like I'm, I don't know.
Yeah, the people in there make a difference.
I like being in the crowd.
Me too.
Yeah. Even when we do the suite, like I always go down.
You
like,
sneak
downstairs.
Out. Yeah, yeah. You wind up at like the rail and we're like, where's Gabby? And we get a text from you.
Because then you're
10
like
minutes later.
In the spirit. You're in the mood. You're like elbow to elbow. Like you just like you can move with the crowd. The lights come on you. You can get lost in it. You can feel like you're kind of on stage yourself in those suites because you're so removed and like people are like looking up and they can pick you out in a crowd. I don't know.
Well,
maybe that's
I mean, it's a fair point. I feel like you guys are way more recognizable. So like, is it easy to go get lost in that crowd the way that, you could in the past? Or is it something that like, you kind of have to keep in the back of your head, like someone could have a cell phone camera and there you are just like hands up in the air.
Much more for Katie.
What are they going to get? They're going to get me dancing like an idiot. Surprise. I dance like an idiot.
Much more for Katie than for me. I don't think anyone. The only time, the funny thing was, I was at an MSG show, actually with someone, excuse me, that Gabby knows, a college friend of mine, Sam Salkin, and someone came up to me and said, you look like that guy who does Phish on MSNBC. And Sam said to him, to this person, like, don't you think he might actually be that guy somewhere on the show? and I was like, it was like, that's the only real, that's, I mean, I guess that's the only time, but we end up sitting kind of, you know, with each other. I mean, not kind of, we sit with each other. So I don't think anyone, maybe people recognize us, but I recognize you.
I don't know. I think everyone's there to have a fun time themselves. I don't really care about who else is there.
Me either.
So, speaking of the lyrics, how did that start? What was that first moment like? Was there like an excitement when you realized what you were doing?
How did it start?
I think Katie started it. Yeah.
I think I just tried to throw you off one day. I just threw one in there and you were like, whoa.
Yeah. And we've kind of rolled back on it recently, but I thought about, like, you know, sometimes the topics we're discussing are quite heavy and we're like, it doesn't make sense to like throw in a fish lyric about like immigration or like healthcare, you know?
Well, you did one the other week. Maybe we were talking about Kevin McCarthy, which was like, it's okay to do. I did my friend today, which was just a lazy one that I kind of dropped on your head.
Yeah. Healthcare is the one that I feel like really works. Like that is begging for a down with disease.
Oh, I've used down with disease so many. So sometimes I'm like standing there about to go on and I'm like scrolling through like lists of fish songs, trying to think of a lyric that fits. And it doesn't always work.
Sometimes I do it while you're speaking.
And yeah.
You think I'm listening to you, but really I'm just scrolling through fish songs to see what I can throw back at you.
Yeah, but you're more talented at TV because it's your job. But
can we issue guys a challenge?
Sure.
All right. Do you think you can fit Crepuscular?
Yeah, because I would just say it.
There's going to be an art to it.
Well, today Katie said that Katie opened our segment saying Congress needs to finish up because we have somewhere to go. We need to see fish at MSG, but that's besides the point. And I said, no, that is not besides the point.
The entire point.
That is the point that we need to finish for fish.
All right. Do you guys prefer floor or seats?
Seats.
Seats.
Okay. Favorite or least favorite song?
Hate that question.
My favorite song is Divided Sky.
I've been getting down with Simple recently. I listened to a great Simple this morning from Mike's playlist.
Simple was
from
great.
This year. From Riviera Maya, which Katie and I are always at MSG every single year. We're like, we're going to Riviera Maya this year. And then like the next morning, we're like, I don't think that's going to work in our schedules. But maybe this year, I kind of would be interested in that.
Maybe.
Never say never. Sober show, not sober show. What's your preference?
Either way. I was pregnant, did sober shows. I had a blast. Both work.
Yeah, I just drink some beers, to be honest with you.
As do I.
Okay, favorite venue?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to say the Forum, because it was my first.
Outdoor is Alpine Valley. Indoor is MSG.
And Page side or Mike side?
Mike side.
We always do Mike side.
We always do Mike side.
Cool. Those are our rapid fire questions. Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks, guys.
This was fun.
We've Got a Band is presented by Section 119 and Osiris Media. Created by Gabrielle Bluestone and James Dell. Executive producers are Gabrielle Bluestone, James Dell, RJB, and Matt Dwyer. Edited by RJB. Audio production by Matt Dwyer. Marketing by Nick Sejas and Eric Limarenko. Art by Mark Dowd.
Osiris.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Frates from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.